time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan right here in studio with us. Good day, sir.
Hello. Hello. We're here. I'm looking at the remains of your Bob's oyster dish, and it's like, man, that must have been glorious.
That was glorious. And I'm not a huge raw oyster guy, but
no.
Wow. Wow, those were good.
We should have saved the third one for Eric.
No, it's okay. I was thinking to myself, there's something innately wrong about this, but I was thinking to myself, I have no problem eating raw oysters in a restaurant because I'm assuming they're fresh, but I was thinking to myself, Bob drove over, and if he made any, stops, got into any construction, I don't know. It just kind of creeped me out. Yeah. But you guys look good. I mean, neither of you are turning green.
No.
And the burrata, by the way, burrata is one of those cheeses that no one knows about, that people really, really should know about. Folks, imagine mozzarella. Everybody loves mozzarella. Now imagine you took mozzarella and you cut it up and you wrapped it in more mozzarella with heavy, rich cream. And then you break that open over like a caprese salad. And it's just, there's not much on earth that can compare with that. And right now it's tomato season. So we're getting more fresh burrata in. I'm pretty sure he uses the same stuff that we get in, which is Maple Brook, which is very, very good stuff. So check it out.
Yes.
I can't speak English. It's okay.
Well, you've come to the right place.
The oysters were still a little chilled, so I'm thinking Brilliant. He may have had an ice pack or a cooler.
Yes.
Bob's a good guy. I think he probably did you guys right.
Sat up on the dashboard for a couple hours.
And I ate two of them, so.
No, you guys did. I was
confident.
But no, they're doing some really, really good stuff up there, and I can't wait. Although it's funny, I think he's really kidding himself that the hot pepper dinner is not going to sell out.
I think so too.
There's psycho people out. I was at a band rehearsal yesterday, and my buddy was showing me something from over the weekend. They got this. I guess they sell these single potato chips in a box that are coated with some the hottest pepper known to man, and it's basically this challenge. And I watched a video of this poor gentleman doing it. And he drank a lot of milk, and he kept demanding more. So that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about wine.
No.
Yeah. But
it's a hot day, and how nice that you brought something very refreshing.
This is what we needed today. This is a great wine. Today we're talking about Southern Italy, also known as Magna Graecia. So we'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, we're drinking a white wine today that is from sort of the arch of the boot, if you will. If you were to step on a bumblebee or something, probably where you'd go, ouch, is right around where this wine is made. It's from a producer called Stati, Stati, and they are this is their Bianco, and they make a lot of very sort of heady, rich wines, and then a nice little red and white that we'll discuss later. But yes, it's very nice and refreshing, and full of citrus and peach, and it's just amazing, and yet kind of crispy. So Southern Italy, is as I so often point out. On many of my regions that we talk about, it's a big, big area, right? So we're talking about not only the Italian peninsula, but also Sicily and Sardinia. Now, next week, we're going to touch on Sicily specifically, so I won't talk about that today. But also beyond Sicily and Sardinia, we're talking about Abruzzo, right? So where Montepulciano d'Abruzzo comes from, and that's on the eastern seaboard, Apulia, Basilicata, which is where this wine is from today, Campania, Calabria, Molise. It's just a vast amount of territory. Obviously it juts into the Mediterranean. It's fairly warm. It's just rife with agriculture. And it's absolutely gorgeous and not well traveled by Americans as much as other places. But if you ever get to Rome, and most people just kind of head north from there, but there's areas south of Rome where, the famous Roman aristocrats would go and vacation. Specifically, we'll talk, of course, about Vesuvius and Pompeii. That is a wonderful wine region, and it's the first one we'll sort of touch on today. All of this area is full of Greek influence, right? Because the Greeks were the ones who brought a lot of things, including vines, and viticulture to southern Italy when they sailed over. There's presence dating from, I think, the 8th century before Common Era. So there's just tremendous history. And also really good stories, right? So we were talking about Vesuvius, one of my favorite wines. I decided not to bring it today because the red and white versions of it are a little bit just too much for a hot, muggy day. But Lacrima Christi, right? Lacrima Christi means the tears of Christ. And it's so when Mount Vesuvius blew its top, famously, the lands to the east of it were just scattered in this huge, huge bunch of volcanic ash, which is very, very good for the soil. It's not so much good if you get caught in it, but later it helps grow things very, very well.
Tomorrow, by the way, is the anniversary of that.
It is.
Oh, yes. My gosh. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Well, there you go. How did you find that out? Where did that come from?
It's on my list of events for tomorrow.
Oh, that's fun.
It began rumbling. It didn't.
Do you know what my list of events for tomorrow includes? Dropping my children off.
Drop off the kids.
I need to make sure that my wife includes these sort of things on my honey-do list. Also remember that Vesuvius blew its top, and if you forget, the children, I'll blow my top sort of thing. It's good.
Thursday is when the Visigoths began to pillage Rome.
Everybody
knows that. You want to work that in somewhere, yeah.
How do I? Well, those are my people, the Visigoths. You know, I'm descended from Visigoth
I can see.
Strains.
Yes.
I don't know how my pillaging is these days. I'm a little out of shape. So Lacrima Christi is where, and people say, so I was saying good stories. So that's where they say that Christ cried because that's where Lucifer fell when he fell from heaven and he crashed into earth. And that's why the soil is so fertile there. It took scientists years to figure out that it was probably the volcanic ash. But, hey, why not? Also, in southern Italy, Calabria is the region of Siro, where some people believe the first wine in the world was actually produced. Interestingly enough, archaeologists have found what they call a vino duct, which carried wine from where it was made to the houses nearby.
That's what you could be working on.
I think that would be brilliant. Well, I think I need to, next time they tear up my road, we just need to also work in some little wine conduit.
Yes.
Or what would be better is those things that they have at the banks, the
little pneumatic tubes. Yeah.
Yeah. If we could just get wine bottles in something like that. What's that? That would be brilliant.
Bottle of rosé. Thanks, Eric.
I think that's a much better use for people's time than figuring out the cure for cancer. Another wine from Calabria, the Cremisa, was used to toast athletes at the first Olympics. So lots of history in this area. A lot of grapes also in this area that Americans really need to get to know. I know they look hard, but they're really like, everybody likes Sauvignon Blanc and Chardonnay because that's all that we know. So if you like Sauvignon Blanc, here's a couple things I would recommend. Fiano. Fiano is a really, really wonderful wine. Kind of has like golden delicious apple and pear notes. And it has just this really, really beautiful level of creaminess. So if you like New World Sauvignon Blancs where they add in like a little Semillon, try Fiano. And it goes really, really well with linguine with clams, fried calamari, things like that. Also, the wine that we're going to be drinking tonight, Greco. So, obviously, Greco of Greek origin. This is a white variety that you find kind of all over southern Italy. Perhaps its most glorious expression, at least they'd tell you that locally, is on the volcanic soils where it's known as Greco di Tufo.
Excuse me.
And then for folks who like reds, if you like Pinot Noirs and lighter, just really pretty wines, and in point of fact, the winery that we're going to be talking about today, their red is made out of this. It's called Galliopo. And it looks like Gagliopopo, but it's pronounced Galliopo, and it's mainstay of Calabria, the Toe, and then getting up into Basilicata. And it's, as I said, it's sort of Pinot Noir-like and very, very pretty, and I just think it's divine. Also, a couple wines that are a little more common now in America, Primitivo, certainly, which is, we've had on this program many times, Zinfandel is what it's known as here. Originally a Croatian grape, but they call it Primitivo in southern Italy. And also Negro Amaro, which is absolutely fantastic, known as a bitter black grape. Yeah, very, very rich, made into, in its best incarnation, Salice Salentino. And also in other places you find it blended to create kind of a fruitier thing, a la the Zinfandel-based blends that we have here in America. So the wine we're drinking today, as I said, is made mostly out of this grape Greco. This is the Greco can be kind of gray, like Pinot Gris. Also, it can be more white. So this is Greco Bianco. It's blended with a grape known basically super regionally in this part of Basilicata called Mentonico. And as I said, it's really just fresh. It's beautiful, but it's got a little bit of weight. And this is a wine that I've had a lot of Chard drinkers latch onto for the summer because it has a little bit of weight, has kind of that sort of tropical note that they like in a lot of, and especially New World Chards. But it's much, much fresher. And also, it's not expensive at all. It's really, really nice. Sits at $14, and as does the red. They're both the same price, and really, really awesome. This is, by the way, if you wonder if this family kind of knows their property and knows their land, they've been there since 1700. The Baron Stati owned 500 hectares, which is quite a bit of property. But bear in mind that there's some, you know, properties where they're farming like 2 hectares. This is 500 hectares and the same 500 since 1700. So that's a lot of control over the agriculture that happened there. And it's one of these places that is very, very into biodynamic agriculture now. And it's because they've had it forever. This is not a new concept. This is not some like new generation came in like, hey, dad, I heard about this. No, these guys, they have olive groves. They have citrus groves. They have regions that they've left naturally forested. They really are very, very diverse and really are into the whole holistic nature. And again, as so many sort of old families will say, like, we've been doing this forever, Junior. So it's, you know, it's no surprise to us that the wine is so good. Did want to mention, so we've finished our tasting now for this month, but next month we're going to have 2 tastings. That I'd love both of you to, I'm sorry, all of you to come to, both of you as well.
Thank you.
On the 21st, that'll be our third Thursday. And so next month, we're going to be starting the wines of North America, starting with California. So September, California month. So the 21st, we'll be doing that. And then on the 29th, which is the following Friday, we're going to be doing that tasting with, now it's going to be, what did my wife dub it? It is wine, women, and kittens. Oh my. So we've got LuLaRoe, we've got, oh gosh, all sorts of stuff, and wine, and adoptable kittens, and we were trying to get some story hour as well so that we can have some family friendly. So that's September 29th from 5 to 7, and it all goes to benefit Bubba's Angels, which is a charity that helps veterans get adoptable kittens and puppies to help them with their PTSD, which I think is really awesome. So come to those.
Mm.
Come out to the store.
Tell us quickly about Fuzzy Udder.
Fuzzy Udder. Oh, Fuzzy Udder is awesome. If anybody has ever heard of Appleton Creamery, she does really marvelous work, and she had an apprentice. She would never sell retail. I would always like, blah, blah, blah. So she had an apprentice, Jessie, who makes really, really good stuff, and she finally struck out on her own, and it's called Fuzzy Udder Creamery, and they just won third place in a national competition for their Windswept, which is our featured item of the week. So that's 10% off. It's a firm cheese made out of sheep's milk, and it's absolutely killer. And it would go great with this white wine.
There you go.
Or any other white wine, like our wine of the week or anything else. So, yeah, Bangor Wine and Cheese.
Thank you, Eric.
Do it.